hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely fantastic day today. And how are you doing today, Ted?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful today. And I tell you what, this is the day the Lord hath made. Go ahead with your first story, bud.
Well, one thing I told you guys at the end of last show, what I was looking into was this USMCA, which I think a lot of what's been going on right now with the Circus Clown Act in Washington and so many other incidences that are constantly going on that we talk to you guys about on a regular basis have been a bit of a cover story and a ploy to push through this trade deal that has basically been, you know, talked about and brought up numerous times, but has kind of been very strange. So I told you guys at the end of last show, it's been something that ironically was supported by the same individuals, including the Democrats on the left, the same individuals that supported the TPP, basically the Trans-Pacific Partnership, also NAFTA as well. But this new United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, the USMCA, that has now basically been signed, is replacing NAFTA. However, this thing, and I've been going through it this morning, went through it some yesterday, I told you guys I was going to bring some topics up on it. This thing is downright creepy, and I know a lot of people argue with, oh, well, it's better than NAFTA. We had to get rid of NAFTA. I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of stuff that NAFTA didn't even have in it, including gender identity protection. By the way, I'll get into that in a minute. In this bill, which makes no sense to me whatsoever, why this is even in the bill, is it's supposed to be this international trade agreement deal, and it is something far more sinister than that. Even the original 1994 NAFTA did not even contain a chapter on the environment, by the way. None. Zero. This new USMCA has a 30-page environmental chapter on it that mentions sustainable development 9 times, starting on page 24-2, where it states, the parties recognize that a healthy environment is an integral element of sustainable development and recognizes the contribution that trade makes to sustainable development. It goes on to talk about sustainable fisheries, sustainable use of biodiversity. It literally, when I was reading this, it sounds word for word for the Agenda UN 2030, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, whatever you want to call it, the United Nations. It literally is a textbook verbatim copy and paste from Agenda 2030. It goes on to say further in there, the objectives of this chapter are to promote mutually supportive trade and environmental policies and practices, promote high levels of environmental protection, and effective enforcement of environmental laws along with sustainable development. Now remember, this treaty isn't just something that's going on to promote trade in between Mexico and Canada or Mexico and, you know, United States, whatever. It's essentially a treaty that is meshing Mexico, Canada, and the United States in together as one. Something that we've been warning about for almost 20 years, as we've seen graphs, we've seen charts about things. It's basically the new America with South America and Mexico and the United States and Canada basically being one continent, one government, one aspect is completely controlled. This is essentially doing it. What the USMCA is essentially doing in this whole bill, it's calling for control over the waters, lands, and organisms across the three countries. It gains control over all three via layered levels of government, essentially, all of which strip the United States of control in these areas and give control to regional governmental entities. Now, we already know the EPA has gotten completely out of hand in the last decade, attempting to control human behavior, where Americans live, how they live, what they do, how they collect their doggone rainwater. I mean, we see all that with the EPA now, and essentially, this is going to give the EPA almost an international control over this, including more funding. In Chapter 24, the USMCA mentions a little-known separate agreement on environmental cooperation among the governments of Canada, Mexico, and the United States, known as the Environmental Cooperation Agreement, the ECA. Under the ECA, all three countries will cooperate to reduce pollution, strengthen environmental governance, conserve biological diversity, and sustainably manage natural resources. There you go again. In other words, together with this, the USMCA is more than just a simple trade agreement. It's an environmental agreement with North America, meaning what's going to happen now whether it comes to pollution, whether it comes to fishing, whether it comes to food, harvesting, growth, so forth. All of this now is going to have to follow the lines of what Canada, Mexico, and the United States agree on. Now, one part about this that's also very troubling is their labor chapter in Chapter 23, and the language that is virtually identical, the copy and pasting of the TPP, the USMCA states, no party shall adopt or maintain a measure that imposes a limitation on the total number of natural persons that may be employed in a particular financial service sector or that financial institution or cross-border service supplier may employ. What that basically means in a nutshell, guys, is this opens the door to Mexico, Canada, and any U.S.-based company to sue the U.S. government for restricting the number of employees that such company can bring across the border into the United States. We essentially just lost our national sovereignty and our border control with this basically this agreement. And I've had a couple people I've talked to yesterday, they argue with me on it. Oh, no, we didn't do that. No. Essentially, if a U.S. company or a Mexico company or a Canada company has a business in the United States and they want to bring, say, 50,000 individuals from Mexico to in the United States to basically work at their company, we can't say a darn thing about it. We literally have to grant them full access and citizenship to work at that company in the United States and vice versa. If we want to bring people down in Canada, so forth, it's completely open. Now, the part in this whole trade agreement they were now a part of that's really, really troubling to me is the gender identity protection in Chapter 23. Why in the world this was added legitimately, I have absolutely no idea. But in addition to workplace protection for migrant workers I just talked about, Chapter 23 promotes workplace protection for gender identity and other LGBTQ gender-related issues. I kid you not. An example, under sex-based discrimination in the workplace, the USMCA labor chapter, all three countries are required to promote and implement policies protecting gender identity. And under Article 23.12, all three countries signing this agree to cooperate on addressing gender-related issues in the field of labor and employment, as well as gender identity. In a nutshell, what that basically means is if a man applies for a job and goes to an interview dressed as a woman and demands to be addressed as a woman and demonstrates even the mildest aptitude to do the job, the employer is required to hire that individual or risk a lawsuit. Basically, if you say somebody comes in my office here and they're dressed like a woman, dressed in a dress, and it's a dude, talks like a dude, sounds like a dude, looks like a dude, and I basically go, you know, I'm sorry, bud, you know, we're just not really in the position anymore, we're going to have to look for somebody else, and I try to come up with an excuse. They now have the right to sue me for basically not allowing them to express their gender identity or take it a next step further. You hire somebody, they look like a dude, they dress like a dude, they sound like a dude, everything's good, they fit the position role. You basically hire them. They come into work the next day in a dress, wearing a skirt with a bra on, with makeup on, dressed like a woman. And you go, I'm sorry, sir, you can't wear that to my office. This is a Christian office. This is a Health Master store. I can't have you looking like this. And they go, you can't tell me what I can't wear. This is my gender expression. If you fire me, I'm going to sue you and I'm going to win. The verbatim, the verbiage in this treaty that we just signed is right in the middle of it with gender identity and expression protection. I cannot believe that we've gotten wrapped up in this thing now. We thought NAFTA was bad. Everybody, NAFTA's horrible. NAFTA was absolutely horrific. This took NAFTA to a whole nother level now, and not only drove us in line with the UN Sustainable Development, it now has verbiage to protect gender identity expression in the workplace, along with a whole plethora of other things I just mentioned. So, congratulations, guys. We have the USMCA now in place, signed, and this was something I was really nervous about. I had brought it up a couple times. Nobody had really been talking about it. All the Democrats supported it, which was very odd, including Bill Clinton and Barack Obama were huge supporters of this. Now I know why. It's like a 2,700-page agreement, treaty, that we are now signing. signed into law with Canada and Mexico, and we just pretty much lost our national sovereignty and our protection for Christian rights, border rights, and a whole lot of other things that I'm sure are going to come out later the more people read this, Dad. So I just want to kind of bring that up. I told everybody I was going to look into it and I was going to read it. A lot of people have been asking me about it. That, in a nutshell, is what we just got wrapped up into on Tuesday now.
Okay, now, let me ask you a couple questions about this also, since a lot of people are going to be asking about this. Is this Donald Trump's deal?
This deal is predating, in my opinion, Donald Trump. Did Donald Trump sign this into law? Yes. This is something that's been in the works, essentially after TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We remember, a lot of our listeners probably remember when that was going on with Obama. It basically was never signed. This was the way to spin it and create something to put in the line with the banking cartel, essentially, the globalists. They put this together after the TPP to make something that they could actually get ran through and have Canada, Mexico, and the United States lined up. So this predates Trump, in my opinion, on what has been put into place. But yes, he signed this now, and this is his signature on this, to my knowledge, as far as ratifying this into law, this agreement.
Okay, so Donald Trump's masterpiece that he wanted as far as getting rid of NAFTA, and he said this was one of his hierarchy goals, was to get this ratified and get it into place, is to give us a bill where we can have undocumented workers come into either country, move all over the place. We can't say anything about it. Freedom of expression, freedom of movement, freedom of going into another country and working without any restrictions. And also the gay and lesbian transgender rights that are being put in there by the New World Order. So this basically is another Rothschild banking cartel, New World Order, bringing us, they used to call it the Amero, you know, having a common currency for the United States, Canada, and Mexico. This is not necessarily going to bring us the Amero, but what it's going to do is to bring us unbridled access to each other's countries, each other's economies, each other's workforce, along with gay, lesbian, and transgender rights thrown in just for fun. And Donald Trump, remember, who's a transgender plus president, gay plus president, homosexual plus president, Kabbalist plus president, Shabbat plus president, red flag gun logs plus president, and signed this into order while we, the population of the United States, have been caught up in the circus clown impeachment trial, and nobody noticed this was going on behind the scenes, and this has become the real story because the circus clown show of the Roman Colosseum of the bread and masses being fed, you know, the masses being fed bread and being given wine at the circuses is basically something that they did to sedate us while we lost our national sovereignty and our ability to dictate who and where people were going to come across the border. Again, this is another one of these 2700. Remember, Donald Trump doesn't read. Always remember this. Whether he has some type of dyslexia, I don't have any idea. I don't know. I'm not speculating that. He watches TV. And, you know, a 2,700-page manuscript, he has to count on his staff, probably Jared and Ivanka Kushner, the Shabbatists, Kabbalists, to basically go through this with their staff in order to find out if there are any kinks in this. Remember, Ronald Reagan signed that assault weapons bill and also signed the machine gun stuff and signed the vaccine orders and all the other things that Ronald Reagan did because he didn't read the material either. This would be the problem that I would have if I was the president of the United States. Before I sign something like the Patriot Act or these types of things, the law, I would actually read them. Yeah, I mean, I read a friend's book for 400 pages a few weeks ago. It was absolutely awful. It took a whole day to do it, which was ridiculous to waste my time, but I did it. I would take a week, and I would read this stupid bill that he just passed, and I would put a big X on everything I didn't like, and I would have it reprinted, and I would double-check to make sure the X's were gone. Now, let me explain to you what I just mean by that. Just because they told you the X's are basically deleted, you don't know that unless you read it again. And so we now have a president who's wanted to be, his goal was to be the most open pro-homosexual president in the world, ever in the history of the United States. He's done that even more than Obama. He wanted to basically go around and do rallies and tell everybody what a Christian he is and how much he loves God and how blessed he in the country is and make America great again, while he tells the country to implement red flag gun laws, while his daughter, who worships a snake in a tree through Kabbalah, wants to go ahead and call up every senator and congressperson in the United States and convince them to bring in red flag gun laws. We see the disaster now that Trump has caused because he's pushed these red flag gun laws so hard that these states are being emboldened out, empowered to basically do whatever they want to do. Look at this mess in Virginia. We're having meetings with thousands and thousands of people showing up in high school auditoriums and gymnasiums, parking a mile down the road. People lined up by the thousands outside of the gymnasium because they can't fit in, to protest the fact that their governor wants to come in now and basically register all assault weapons or seize them. Yeah, this is Donald Trump. This is the complete and total crap that we've put up with from this administration. And what happened, whether there was election fraud in Virginia or not, I don't know. But what I will say is this. The patriots, primarily, I shouldn't say this, but it's the truth, the Zionists have taken a nap. They decided on their way to the polling booth to take a tent along and take a sandwich along, set up the tent, have a sandwich and a nap, and forget about voting. So now we've got a whole bunch of patriots and people that should have been awake have gone to sleep, who would have stayed awake had Hillary Clinton won the election. Now you say, you think Hillary should have won the election? No, I don't. But they would have stayed awake. So now we've got a man who's basically completely and totally compromised by the Rothschild banking cartels, completely indebted to them, running around the country still, saying one thing in his rallies and doing something totally different. It makes me want to puke. And I mean that very seriously. It makes me want to vomit. Makes me want to hurl. Use your own word. It's nauseating to me that we've got to deal with this crap out of the White House, and this guy is not having the best interests of the United States in his heart. It's not. Or he never would have signed this. He'd have taken a doggone Sharpie and started putting X's through everything. Transgender rights. Why do we have transgender rights in a manuscript like this? Are we going to force this now on these other countries? Oh, that's right. Canada is big pro-transgender country. All kinds of discrimination laws in place already against that in Canada, if you say anything about this. So it's exactly like you said, Austin. Guy comes walking in, 6'6", has a miniskirt on, okay? Wearing a bra with padding, okay? Or better yet, head implants. He's got implants with a miniskirt, he's wearing a bra, and he's 6'6", and he's covered in hair. And he goes, I want a job. And you're like, yeah, I don't really know. I think you're going to be kind of a distraction around here. You're kind of different. No, I'm going to sue you now. What kind of crap are we getting out of the White House? That's all I want to say. And guys, I warned you about this. I warned you about this, and I warned you about that. You know I have not been on the fence with this. I supported Trump for the first year in. I got on the fence the second year in. This year I have been completely and totally opposed to what he's doing and how he's acting. Guys, when he pushed the red flag gun laws after Parkland, and we got this crap from Bubble Boy Rubio pushed through our doggone state now, and all of the other things that happened with our governor, yeah, I'm done. I'm off the train. I told you that. And you think, well, what are we going to do now? We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to actually rely on God Almighty. We're going to have to do what the people in Virginia did. Gene's going to put an audio recording for me together for tomorrow. He's my boots on the ground right now in Virginia. And he's one of our listeners, and he's a contributor to the show. He's a phenomenal guy. And what we have to do is we have to pay attention to the people that are the boots on the ground, because what the people are doing in Virginia, rallying by the tens of thousands and developing sanctuary counties for the Second Amendment all over the state. Now, the state's coming in and saying you can't do that for the cities, and saying the cities will lose state funding if you make a sanctuary county. There's a giant – if we're not careful, the spark – that's going to start a second civil war in the United States is going to happen in Virginia. Yeah, I mean, right now. It's happening right now while we completely are enthralled with whatever the blithering idiots and the dual Israeli citizens who are trying to impeach Trump while he tells everybody how much he loves Israel are doing in Congress. This whole thing is weird. I feel like I'm living in the stinking Twilight Zone and we're in a Rod Serling episode. That's what I feel like for all of you guys who want to date me back to the 50s. But this is some weird stuff, Austin. That's my comment on that. I got to change topics.
Well, I just want to clarify something real quick on here. I want to make sure everybody knows it, because I just pulled it up just to make sure. Congress has not fully ratified this yet. They said they're going to ratify it. Trump already signed it into law. They actually signed it last year. The problem is nobody even knew what the whole thing was about. Trump's already signed it. Canada signed it. Mexico's already. They've already signed it. Congress was holding it back as leverage and not ratifying it. And now, basically, they've gone in now and said they will ratify it, they will agree to it, and that's essentially the only hurdle left to do this. And this is why I brought it up earlier. this is why all these different things have been going on right now, to keep everybody preoccupied, everybody that's talked about this agreement deal, everybody that's actually read it now, that's been opposed to it, it's kind of gone on the back burner and nobody's talked about it because it was already signed, but it wasn't ratified. Now Congress has agreed pretty much that they are going to ratify it. And once this goes into law, once this is fully ratified and is actually executed, we're going to start seeing some very interesting changes here in the United States, and I mean that very, very sincerely. The context of the gender identity in this bill is absolutely unacceptable to me. There's no reason this needs to be in a trade agreement deal between three countries, essentially for agricultural and resource purposes. 000. But I just want to add on that, that Trump signed this, Congress has not ratified it yet, but they said they are going to now, essentially next week or whenever they get back in the session in January.
You know, Austin, it never ends. It's the circus clown show. It's what I talked about all week, about the Kabbalah and these people that are the death sex cult that run the planet, who really feel they can rule everything through their weird tree of life with their serpent hanging out in it, with their weird entities they worship. I mean, we talk about this all week. We're the only ones who talk about it. And it's sad to me. It's sad to me that basically, you know, now Jared Kushner, since I guess he's got this thing done or whatever he's doing now or whatever he does, I personally think he's a trust fund baby who doesn't do crap. Okay, I just said that, didn't I? I guess I shouldn't have said that, but I did. I think Jared Kushner is a trust fund baby who doesn't do crap, who's not capable of doing crap. I think he was handed a whole bunch of money by his dad, and basically he is basically a figurehead for what his dad wants to have done or whatever, whoever's in charge of the real money. And this is what we have again. We have another cutout, like Donald Trump. We don't know if Donald Trump's a billionaire. We know that Jeffrey Epstein, they said he was a billionaire. He wasn't a billionaire. He was another Rothschild Mossad cutout. How do we know Trump's not? How do we know that when you look at his assets and his liabilities, that he's really a billionaire? How do you know that? All of his books are sealed. I mean, the Supreme Court just came out and said Deutsche Bank doesn't have to report the records that he gave. None of this has to be exposed to anybody. I mean, this thing is such a cover-up. It's unbelievable to me. I apologize for being on a tear about this morning, but I had no idea that, you know, this Trans-Pacific Partnership and all the other things that we're trying to do, and now we're doing this stuff with Mexico and Canada, and how this is Trump's hierarchy of what he wanted to get done, has transgender stuff stuck in with unbridled access to each other's workforce, with unbridled access across each other's borders. This is essentially wiping out the markers between our three countries as far as trade. I mean, it's basically making us one country, and it's ludicrous this is happening, because this is the first step. Remember, this is what they did in the European Union. Always remember this. They took over the European Union, the Rothschilds did, with their euro, and they basically got rid of the German Deutsche Mark, the French franc, the Swiss off the franc, all the other currencies in Europe except for the pound and the franc basically got melded into the euro. And the borders just kind of disappeared. When I was young, I used to have to go through border checkpoints when I went to Europe. I was in my 20s. And yet, every time you went into Austria or Switzerland or any other country, you had to stop and show your papers and have passports everywhere you went in Europe. That doesn't exist anymore. You don't have to slow down. You got super highways across borders. That's where they want us, guys. And this this North American Union with Mexico and Canada, it's been the long pipe fantasy of these guys for a long, long time. Now, let me change topics. I got a really good devotional in this morning, and I think we all need that right now. And it starts off, and it is basically, I'm not going to give you the name of the devotional, because if I do, somebody's not going to like it, and somebody's going to send me a letter, and I'm not going to do it. I like what it says, so I'm going to read it to you. Sometimes as believers, we've known Jesus to be our Savior for so long that we fail to dive into all it means for us and thereby miss out on all the wonderful fruit salvation is meant to bear in our lives. Jesus died, not just to usher us into heaven at our death, but that we might find salvation from the things of this life that don't flow from the heart and hands of the Father. God's will is that we should walk in the fullness of life all the days of our life. This is from John 10:10. He has peace for us instead of anxiety. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. He has an eternal purpose for us instead of frivolous pursuits. Ephesians 2:10. He longs to fill our hands with good gifts instead of the fruit of anxious toil. James 1:7. And he has a new nature and a newness of life instead of the sins and cares of who we were before Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Guys, here's the thing. All of the stuff that we talk about, on this show, including the good and the bad. All of it has to be looked at through a Christian lens. We have to realize that we're blessed. We have to realize that this country was blessed. We have to realize that before this Rothschild group of stooges got a hold of our money supply in 1913, that we were the most blessed country in the history of the world. That were the most indebted country in the history of the world. We've got to realize that we have to stand firm in the Word of God and believe and know with whom our future is and our future is based. Remember this. When you become born again, from that point on, you have eternal life. You don't have to die. Your spirit goes on for eternity. It starts right there when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Enter into His rest and realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that our footsteps are ordered by the Lord. Remember that we need to commit our plans to the Lord and they will succeed. Always remember this stuff that we talk about from an eternal perspective, because quite frankly, what these clowns are doing right now isn't going to affect us in 100 years. We're going to be in glory with the King of Kings. So we have to understand that. Now, does that mean we should sit back on our laurels and just let them do that? Absolutely not. We have to stand firm for the Word of God. Donald Trump has already told us he's the most transgender, homosexual, positive, you know, abortion-positive president we've ever had. To me, he's basically a Democrat who is a pro-abortion. He was a Democrat for many years, remember that, who changed his colors to be elected to lead the country. Maybe I should put it this way, to mislead the patriots. Ooh, gosh, that's a strong statement, isn't it? To mislead the patriots, to make us think that he's something that he's not. He just signed this deal, wiping out borders across three different countries and forcing transgender policies on all three countries, when transgenders are way less than 1%, way less than 1% of the population. You know, we're catering these people and catering to these groups that practice and worship Lucifer, the snake god. I mean, they worship a snake. I mean, what the heck, man? Are you look at all the old Egyptian hieroglyphs. You know, they have all of these. It's all part of that stuff that I talked about from the ancient. They worship a snake god. Quetzalcoatl was a snake in South America that could morph into a human being. They got pictures of them on the pyramid with a snake with a person's face coming out of it. I mean, what the heck? And we're looking at all of this stuff and we're going, wow, why is this happening? Well, here's why it's happening. Because the kingdom of God has been moving since the beginning of time, and only the righteous take hold of it. We've got to realize that, number one. Number two, there are very few people that are righteous. That's why the Bible says that only a remnant will make it into heaven. What does that mean? That means about 10%. And some people say that even means people who claim to be Christians, only about 10% of them are going to make it. I don't know the numbers. I'm not God. I'm not trying to judge anybody. All I know is this. We got a mess. And, you know, and there's several good books you need to read. Pawns in the Game by William Guy Carr. And then the other one is, Satan, the ruler of this world, the prince of this world. You need to read that book too. It's an unfinished book that he wrote. You need to read Topper Saucy's, you know, Rulers of Evil. There's all kinds of books out there that you need to read and pick up. These books, by the way, are free online. And read them online, get them for free, and realize that our battle is not against flesh and blood, against all these principalities. And I'm going to say this to you guys again, and I mean this with all of my heart. Because of my hope and my faith and my belief in Jesus Christ, because of my hope and my faith in what God can do for us, I'm at a point in my life where I'm in God's rest, and I feel like I'm in the perfect position that He wants me to be in right now. That's why I'm at total peace. Does that mean that I like what's going on? You guys know I don't like what's going on. You know that I don't want to tolerate it, and that's why I talk about it all the time. But that's also why I've got the chutzpah to talk about this stuff that nobody else wants to talk about, and so does Austin. You tell me somebody else who talked to you about the cabal in depth like I did the other day on a national show like this. One other person, except for maybe Jeff Rentz. Jeff Rentz is wide awake. Love Jeff Rentz. He's a great guy. You know, I've been on with Doug Hagman, and I've talked about this stuff before too. And on with Dave Hodges, and I've talked about it, and with Sheila. And so all I know is this. There's coming a time when the persecution against the saints, against the Christians, is going to be so strong that we're going to feel like we're back in the Roman Colosseum. And guys, the only way any of us are going to get through that and basically finish this race that God wants us to be in is to keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus at all times and to pray on a regular basis. Guys, I can't tell you, I prayed for you guys again this morning. I cannot tell you how important it is for you to pray. Last night, I was on the back porch. We had a little fireplace on the back porch. Actually, it's a nice fireplace on the back porch. And I'm sick because in Florida, you can't really have a fireplace in your house because it gets too hot. And, you know, it was nice outside last night. And I was listening to worship and praise and Christmas music last night, primarily Christmas music. And I just started praying. I just started thanking God. Thank God for where you are right now. You know, chances are you're not living on a dirt floor. Chances are you're not having to use an outhouse. Chances are you've got food in your refrigerator. Chances are you've got clothes on. Chances are you're not freezing to death. And see, guys, in so many other countries, they're fighting all that because this new world order doesn't care how you live. They don't care if you're blessed. They don't care if you've got food. Heck, they're doing everything they can to destroy food production. All these guys want to do is create enough chaos that out of the chaos will come their new world order, their thousand points of light, and this big giant snake thing's going to show up. What a bunch of weirdos. You know, and so here's the thing. Rely on Christ. Rely on Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the perfecter of our faith. He's the one you've got to think about. Pray with your family and be grateful, for heaven's sakes. Be grateful that you can listen to this show. Be grateful for the food and the clothes that you have on your back. Be grateful to God in everything that you do. Give thanks to Him, guys. All right, Austin, what's your next story, bud?
Oh, that was really well said, bud. I mean, I'm glad you brought that up because I think a lot of people, all of us, we're all guilty of this sometimes. We get so wrapped up in the world and everything going on and work and stuff, and then a lot of times we just kind of forget what we still have. And that's why I think a lot of people sometimes take for granted what we still have in this country. You know, we were talking yesterday about how, you know, America, one aspect of it that's amazing is how we can buy and sell and trade firearms whenever we feel like doing so, and it's a concept that most people just take for granted. You know, we're used to be able to just go to the gun store and buy a gun. Want a gun? Go buy a gun. You call up your buddy, he's got a gun, buy a gun. And in most countries now, that's been taken away. You know, majority of countries around the entire world, almost all countries, you can't do that. I mean, if you even have the legal ability to actually go buy a firearm, most times you have to have fingerprints, you got to have registration, you got to have a permit, you got to have all this stuff just to get approval to buy a firearm. And that's what they're trying to do here. That's why everybody up in Virginia is basically in upheaval right now, because that's what they're wanting to do next. And I mean, the irony of it about it is that the governor up there, the one that's actually talking about this now, the Virginia governor Northam, the thing about him that's so troubling is he's already come out. Remember, if you guys remember in the past, he was the one that came out and said that he was okay, essentially, with babies, if they were born alive and healthy, they can be kept comfortable until the mother decides to have it murdered after birth. This is the Governor Ralph Northam in Virginia. He's the one that's now talking about gun confiscation and gun registration up there. So best believe, if you have somebody that's completely morally okay in their own mind with executing a very healthy, naturally born baby because the mother decides she wants to abort it, he's okay with that. He has no problem with doing anything to anybody at all. There is no limit on his depravity. So understand and listen to what a lot of these people say. And, you know, we just have to continually be boisterous. We have to get our voice heard. We have to make sure that we tell these politicians and all these individuals, you know, that we're not okay with this. We have to make a stand, and we also, too, have to vote them out the best we can while we still have a constitutional republic and an election system. I mean, as frauded as it is and all the garbage that we've seen and all the just nonsense half the time, we have to continually try to do the best we can to maintain and vote and get these guys out. When we know they do stuff like this and we know they support this stuff, we have to get them out to the best of our ability. Also, too, in other news, some kind of change topics here. Interesting, because this is where the next level of policing is. As we know, Sweden has already been used as a benchmark for microchipping. for individuals that basically put a chip in their system, so in their hand, so they can go and buy things. They can use it as a key. They can use it as a credit card. Sweden's already done this. Thousands and thousands of people have already done this. Now, under the guise of crime, because they've allowed, the politicians have allowed Sweden to turn into such a nightmarish of a place to live now because of unbridled migration and the surge in crime, they are now deploying drones all over the cities that are going to monitor the city around the clock, 24/7, 365, via unmanned aerial systems being used as part of what's called Operation Rimfrost, a six-month program that can be extended if needed, aimed at combating gang activity in Sweden's third-largest city. Now, the thing about this will probably be effective at actually identifying individuals that are involved in illicit behavior, but here's the thing. What are they actually going to do about it? We already know that in most cases the police departments over there have their hands tied, almost literally, as far as it actually arresting these individuals and actually using deadly force on these individuals that produce guns, knives, firebombs, incendiary devices. Most of the time they can't even do anything, or they have to release them because they're illegals. They arrest them, they bring them and say, oh, sorry, he basically came from another country. He's a political, you know, refugee from Syria. You have to release him. You can't charge him. You can't arrest him. You can't do anything. That happens all the time over there. So if that's happening all the time, what are they planning on doing with these drones? What are they going to do? They're not going to arrest these people. They're not going to do anything to them. So if that's the case and then they're not going to do anything to them, are we just using this as an excuse to start doing a full-blown surveillance over an entire city now with unmanned aerial systems? That's, to me, is picturing what they're doing now. So just something I wanted to bring up. This is happening in the United States multiple times. We've had the surveillance blimps out in California. We've had the drone used to basically identify the ranchers over there. And remember, all the sheriff's departments and a lot of the police departments all across the country have gotten drones via Homeland Security grants, including MRAPs and all types of other equipment that we've talked about in detail. And remember, Donald Trump just signed another bill basically giving tens of millions of dollars away in federal grants via DHS to more sheriff's departments and more polices all across the country so they can get more free military equipment. We are seeing an arms race in the United States now, something that's very troubling, an arms race between civilians and an arms race between law enforcement. You guys saw Black Friday, that it was the second highest firearm purchase ever in the history of the United States, and only short by like 10,000 firearms to the Black Friday 2 years before that, in 2017. There's an arms buildup in the United States, and we're going to be brought to a point in time where we're going to be between a rock and a hard place. And just understand that. That's why I tell everybody, make sure you train with this stuff. You have a great deal of responsibility when you own and carry a firearm. Don't just buy a firearm and stick it in your safe. Don't just buy a firearm and stick it in your pocket. If you're going to own these firearms, use them on a regular basis. Take training courses. Take physical classes that are going to teach you not only how to handle and shoot more efficiently, but to be able to move and be able to train and be able to reload and be able to know what to do and the difference between cover and concealment in a gunfight. Understand that just owning a firearm does not make you proficient in firearm ability. You have to actually utilize those firearms, train with them, and build your skills. I cannot stress that anymore. And that's something that is really, really important, because once the time comes that we actually have to defend our country, we need everybody to be as well trained as possible and not just have a safe full of 40 or 50 Kimbers and, oh, I got a bunch of guns in my safe. I got a bunch of 1911s and a bunch of handguns in my safe. Haven't shot one in 5 years, but man, I got them. I mean, that's great. That's grand. That's wonderful. You got a bunch of guns. You got a bunch of ammo. Kudos. You did the first step. Understand that training is the next step you need to engage in, and formal training. Because I get people all the time that, well, I've trained before. I was in the Army 25 years ago. That's fantastic. You're in the Army. I appreciate your service. I'm glad you already have that base training. You have to continually train on a regular basis. I told you guys 2 months ago, I had the privilege of training with Pat McNamara over in St. Augustine. Incredible gunfighter. Man, wealth of knowledge, and got to train with him for 2 days as far as with pistol training. Burnt like 1,500 rounds to my Glock. Was an incredible training experience to do that with him and see how his tactics, what he liked to deploy, different things, transitioning. Engage in that, train for it, prepare for it, because a lot of people right now are seeing the writing on the wall. What we're seeing in Virginia, what we've seen in California, what we've seen in Connecticut, what we've seen in all these states now, there is a storm coming. And once something happens, we have to have the best ability, training, skills, and background, including making sure we're healthy and physically fit. Training and getting on the gun range is just one step. Getting in the gym, getting out of the gym and walking, getting cardiovascular training, making sure you have the ability to do some pull-ups, to do some sit-ups, to do some squats. And I don't mean everybody needs to be out there and needs to be a bodybuilder running around. I don't mean that at all. A lot of times sometimes that lifestyle gets unhealthy as well, and the whole other spectrum of it. But having the ability to know what you can do, like Dad talked about, dumbbell squats. If you can't do barbell squats, do dumbbell squats if you can do. So even if you do 5-pound dumbbells, doesn't matter. Start somewhere and get your core strength strong. So if you have to pick somebody up, or you have to pick up ammo cans, or you have to move sandbags because we're having a hurricane, you can go out there and start slinging stuff around, and you're not winded and out of breath after 2 or 3 minutes because you're so used to laying on the couch eating Doritos and drinking diet soda, you don't know what to do with yourself now when somebody's actually called you to do something. It starts just with one step. Get in the gym tonight. If you don't want to go to the gym, do something in your house. Do some sit-ups. Do some pull-ups. If you're physically fit and it's safe to do so, start exercising and get in the routine of eating clean and taking good supplements. We talk about this all the time, but in general, there's so many people that I know that they'll say they support Health Masters or they support Patriot Cause, and then they go out and they go buy some Bobo supplements from Sam's, and then they call me up and want to ask me how much to take of this crap supplements. And I tell them, I suggest you take all of them into the trash. You throw them away. I've seen people before bring over bottles of CoQ10 and it has red food coloring in it. Red food coloring in it to make it look like it's actual CoQ10 ubiquinol or ubiquinone. It's an embarrassment that people buy these supplements. We bring this information to you on this show so you have the knowledge to make an informed decision that's accurate. We have the ability to do this in this day and age. So take advantage of what we have now. Take advantage of what we produce. Take advantage of the knowledge base you can have, whether it's buying a bottle of Ultimate Multiple and supporting us, or getting outside and walking or doing some sit-ups and push-ups. We have the ability in a free country now to do pretty much almost anything we want. Let's not take that for granted. Let's remember what we have and that we have the ability to express ourselves, to educate ourselves, to keep ourselves healthy and exercise, and nobody can tell us otherwise right now. Take advantage of it and take responsibility for your actions, your family's actions, and the way your children are being brought up right now, because nobody else is going to do it for you. We have to make a stand, and we have to make a difference right now, Dad. And that's basically my whole take on everything going on.
Well, no, you're right. And, you know, let's look at one product. Let's look at methylated B vitamins. About 35 to 40% of the population can't process and digest B vitamins properly. They've lost the ability to do it unless the vitamins are methylated. Well, methylation costs more, but people don't understand that. You know, or they use the cyanide cobalamin instead of the methyl cobalamin, which is methylated cobalamin. And so they have a problem because they can't digest the supplements they're putting in their body. And they say, well, I take these vitamins, they don't work. Just the other day, I had a guy send me like an SOS flare, have all these health problems. And I put a whole protocol together for him. He had my email address. And then I said, okay, I'll be happy to do this for you. And he went out and he said, what do you think I should get? So I sent him the links from Health Masters as what to order. And he went out and said, oh, I got everything from a local health food store, but I've got more questions for you. And now I'm done. Now I'm done because now I can't answer questions about other people's products. Does that make sense to anybody who's listening? I mean, did that make any sense? I mean, why would you contact us about something you bought at Sam's or Walmart or something that you got out of China that contains food coloring and shellac? I mean, why would we know about that product? We don't know about that product. We haven't done any research on that product. I can pretty much guarantee it's not going to work, and you're going to feel awful. Take it, probably feel worse. But, you know, I can't – and it's so frustrating to me also because you're absolutely right. We manufacture, as far as I'm concerned, some of the highest quality supplements in the world, period. And we make sure we do because we take them personally. My family takes them and my grandchildren take them. So I make sure they're right. So we have to understand, guys, that we have to do what we're supposed to do from a health standpoint. Take our methylated B vitamins. You won't believe it. Take 4 of those in the morning with your breakfast with a glass of water, and you will feel absolutely amazed how much better you're going to feel. Let me give you a couple more articles. 2 U.S. federal agencies now have cleared a farmer to plow his field. Then a 3rd federal agency slapped him with millions in fines. This is crazy. This is Tehama County, California. Jack Palant planted 900 acres of winter wheat on his property in 2011. The Department of Agriculture and Farm Services Agency and Natural Resources Conservation Service, both federal agencies, assured him that growing the wheat would be legal because it was consistent with past use of the land. A year later, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers informed him that, under the Clean Water Act, he needed a permit to farm his property and, according to Congress, under the CWA, normal farming activities such as LaPlante's are exempt from permit requirement. Nevertheless, the Army Corps of Engineers took action against him. LaPlante now faces severe criminal penalties. What the heck? This is the problem that you get with government that's so full of bureaucracy, and the own groups don't understand what the other groups are doing. By the way, CNN, NBC basically are caught faking photos of a baby with measles to scare people into accepting vaccines. In a news segment that originally aired on CNN, no surprise there, a stock photo of a healthy baby was photoshopped with measles sores and then shown on the air along with the message that the anti-vaccination information is dangerous. Mainstream media is stoking fear and hysteria over measles outbreaks in order to convince you and the public that forced vaccinations are needed. This is the same thing we're getting in the Patriot community. We're being told that we're going to be bombarded with asteroids within 5 to 10 years. That we're going to have volcanoes open up and start swallowing the planet and lava going everywhere. Or that we're going to have giant tidal waves and tsunamis coming in. Or we're going to be hit by, you know, Planet X. Just name it. Pick it. You know, Y2K. Name it. And it's promoted. And this is fear porn as far as I'm concerned. Let me explain something to you. If an asteroid the size of Mount Everest hits anywhere on this planet, it's a world-ending event. You might as well just tuck and pray and say goodbye. And you ain't going to change it. And worrying about it ain't going to make one bit of difference. Here's what you need to be concerned about. Getting out and exercising and walking around the block. Taking methylated B vitamins. Taking multiple vitamins. Taking magnesium supplements every day. Yep. Taking CoQ10 for your heart. Taking vitamin E. You know, praying every day. Praying like it's all up to God and working like it's all up to you. You know, doing your best to stay out of debt. You know, and making sure it looks all earlier that you're fit enough to defend yourself. That's what you need to think about. That's some stupid asteroid hitting the planet in 10 years. That's fear porn, and I'm so sick of it. I can't stand that you never hear us talk about junk like that, because there's nothing we can do about it if it happens. So if you can't do anything about it, then it's basically causing you to worry. And the Bible says don't worry. Just don't be listening to this stuff, by the way. Just don't do it. By the way, some more stories. A Soros-sponsored activist confidently predicts that the white population in America will soon be a minority. And so then she says, so watch your ASS. Judith Brown Dynas, a black civil rights lawyer and a racial advocate who also is the co-director of the George Soros-funded Advancement Project, no surprise there, I should say the George Soros-Rothschild cutout-funded Advancement Project, was recorded on video last week counting down the days until white people become a minority in 2042. She says, people say demographics aren't destiny. Well, we are going to make destiny. May we assume that we, or whom she refers to, includes George Soros. This little sidebar. Stephanie Valencia, former Obama administration official, responded with, amen, Dinah said in a 2017 tweet. Members of Congress better check the demographic trends. We plan to make demographics destiny, so watch your ASS. Yeah, okay, there we go. Can it be any more clear than that, guys? They don't like you because you're white, or you're a black patriot, or you're a Hispanic patriot, or you're a white patriot, but they really dislike whites. And it's so funny to me. Why is it that? Well, I'm not going to get into that. Okay, North Carolina congressional candidate Pete Abrosa calls for a 10-year moratorium on all immigration. That's a good news. I'm glad he got to do all that. I think he's absolutely right. And Germany, member of parliament who opposes immigration, is now receiving death threats from Antifa. This is the anti-fascists. Antifa members are threatening to assassinate Christine Baum, a dentist and a member of parliament who belongs to the populist Alternative for Germany, AfD party, that campaigns against mass migration. A cross and vulgar letter. That's cross. C-R-O-S-S, like Jesus on the cross. And a vulgar letter were placed, like she's going to be burned in effigy or hung or crucified, were placed outside of office proclaiming that she will die on December 31st. Wow. Her campaign office was attacked last month, and recently there have been 52 attacks on party headquarters and offices in Germany, and half of those targeted are the AfD. So, guys, this is happening everywhere. Let me tell you something about these guys. All right, I'm going to stand up for a second. I may start, I got a few minutes, I can't go too long, but I may start fussing. So if you guys don't want to hear me fussing, you might want to just turn the radio down. Here's the thing. These people, if you watch the movie Tombstone, I love Tombstone. It's got some great one-liners in it. They're playing for blood. And they're not playing for your blood or my blood. They're playing for the blood of the planet. Free that they pray for all the time, and this other thing that they like to fantasize with. We talked about that this week. And these people are out there, and they say that they're responsible for the creating of the universe, the creating of the planets, and we are here to serve them, and we are but animals. And that we should be happy that we're animals and we're underneath them. That we're basically some lower form of life that they've created. They're so arrogant that they believe they can do whatever they want to do, bring in their herald Antichrist through the third temple, and basically subject the entire planet to years of hell, literally on Earth. They're so arrogant, they believe they can take CERN and open up interdimensional portals and basically allow other entities and more entities to come into this world. They're so arrogant, they believe they can spray you with aluminum and barium in microcrystals and fibers, give you all kinds of diseases, affect your mental acuity, and make you sick, and it's okay. They're so arrogant, they believe that they can give your children vaccinations that are so full of mercury, dead fetal cells, and cancer cells that they can destroy the next population with autism and disease to reduce the population of their planet, which they deem they have to cull now. This is what we're dealing with. They're so arrogant that they have to ask, is it better to go ahead and keep people sick, or is there more money to be made in keeping them ill? I mean, or cure them. Should they cure somebody from a disease or keep them sick so they can make more money? These are the questions they ask. They're so arrogant that they believe, they feel that they can go into Iraq or Afghanistan just for lies and kill millions of people, and we're supposed to say okay. We're not conspiracy people. We are Iraq rememberers. Remember that. Remember 9/11. Remember Iraq. Remember Afghanistan. So whenever you put a conspiracy title on, you say, no, I remember what happened in Iraq when we went in and killed millions of people just because we could. I remember when we had a sovereign person put in power there. We didn't like him there anymore, Saddam Hussein, and we wanted to get rid of him, and we had him hanged. The United States did that after they realized there were no weapons of mass destruction. That's who I am. I remember when Building 7 fell down by itself, that just happened, that it was never hit by a plane. Yeah, I'm that guy. I remember that. I remember all of this stuff. I remember when autism was 1 in 10,000. Now it's 1 in 32. Yeah, and it's not good enough yet. Now they're doing forced vaccines. People go into school, or they basically get fined, and or they don't want their children in the school, or the Department of Family Services comes and takes the children away. So that's who we're fighting. Our battle is not against the flesh and blood. It's against these demons, these demonic entities in these other realms that these guys worship. That's what it is. This is why it's so important every single day. Every day. You listen to me. Please. My friends, you listen to me. I pray for you every day. You have to station angels around yourself. You say, what does that mean? There's other entities that are on our side. They're God's angels. They're his warrior class angels. They protect you. You have to plead the blood of Christ over you and your family every single day. We've talked about that in depth. Now you go, well, you're doing that Christianity stuff now. You're sounding crazy. Okay, whatever. I'm telling you what to do. And you got to put a hedge of thorns around yourself. You got to pray, guys. I can't tell you how important it is to have prayer time, and you pray out loud every single day with your family. It's so critical. You've got to protect yourself against this weird stuff. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's these guys who drink human blood, who sacrifice children, and who are witches and warlocks and weirdos. And that's what they are. And these guys run the New World Order. We are being run by a satanic sex death cult. And it's been that way for a long, long time. And until we wake up as Christians and stand against what these things and people are, and we pray in aggregate, guys, it ain't going to change. It's got to be prayer that does this, because it changes the entire space-time continuum. You change the reality of space-time when you pray. It changes everything. And we've got to continue to pray. And don't be caught all up in this circus clown show that is Washington, D.C. I love you guys. I pray for you every day. Austin, go ahead and finish it up.
Absolutely. And one more health story as far as we see things that are going on now. A new review that's been published by, it was actually 50 different studies. It covered more than 22,000 children. It was out of the University of Strathclyde. It found that children of all ages around the world are now at a risk from a decline in physical activity. It fell steadily from age 4 to 5 in both boys and girls in every part of the world covered by the study. Daily activity has now fallen by 3 to 4 minutes every single year overall in the study. And so what they found is that the physical activity levels are beginning to fall at early ages rather than during an adolescence, as widely believed. They said as early as age 7, they're starting to see a significant decline in physical activity, and in some cases of the world, age 4 to 5, they're starting to see that. And so what they're basically saying is that kids are becoming lazier and lazier, and they're doing less work, and they're basically sitting on the couch, watching TV, playing video games, and it's starting in most cases as early as 7 years old, and it's steadily dropping every single year. The amount of physical activity is dropping more and more and more, and I see it. I mean, when I was a kid, I'd never stay inside. I mean, I was on the bikes, I was on the dirt bikes, we're on the orange groves, we're out in the woods. I mean, we're just nonstop, you know, we're playing paintball in the lake. It just didn't, even we're little kids, we probably shouldn't have been playing paintball as a little kid, but whatever, you know, kids in the neighborhood bring out paintball guns, let's go. And so, but that's the way it was back then, and now it's the whole world has changed with technology, and so it's your responsibility as an adult, if you have kids, to make sure your children are getting enough exercise, they're getting enough physical activity for the, just in general, and they're staying away off the phones and computers and video games when it's not necessary or needed, because they do not need to be a babysitter. Using an iPad when you go out to a restaurant as a babysitter is one of the worst things you can do, not only for your child's brain activity and social skills, but teaching them how to function in society and socialize with other people. I can't stress that any more. I just want to bring that up again. I saw that as a very interesting study. Please be sure to check out the website, the Chelation Therapy One Yesterday product of the week. This product is basically designed to detoxify you. It also has EDTA in it, which can remove heavy metals out of this body. Very, very, very positive product for that. And can also reduce plaquing in the arteries. Do your research on it. Chelation Therapy, great product on sale right now for over 10% off as product of the week. And please be sure to vote for what you want to see win next week on product of the week. We appreciate the support. If you need anything, healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.